Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Dennis Mahoney is with us. He hasn't been on our program for a while, and we're thrilled that he's back. He's the author of the new novel, Our Winter Monster. It is set in a ski village in upstate New York. Seeking a fun getaway, a couple in a troubled relationship loses their way driving in a snowstorm. A Troy-based horror writer, Mahoney will be speaking at an upcoming New York State Writers Institute event later this month. Has some other events around the region as well. We'll talk about those. Dennis continues to build off his explorations into our universal feats of loneliness and inadequacy with a novel firmly set in the horror genre. Enter Our Winter Monster, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dennis Mahoney to the Roundtable this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me back, Joe.
It's really great to have you back. You are the one who noted it has been 10 years, and that's a long time. But how long has this particular book been in the works?
A good question. I believe I began it during the pandemic. That was the proper work on it. I know the seed came a little earlier. Publishing, not a speedy industry. So this was done maybe a year and a half ago.
So, and back to our timeline, but you were, was it Fellow Mortals you were on for?
That's correct.
Yeah, and that's been a while, so here you are. Now, what is it like, the writing process then, once you were up and running and full bore on it, is that then a quick process, or...?
This one was relatively quick. I want to say under 6 months until I had a draft that was worth giving to my agent, at which point the multiple revisions and edits begin.
And who all decides that it's ready for the agent?
That would be me. Yeah. My wife also read it. She's we've been together, I think we just hit our 30th or 29th anniversary.
Congratulations.
And she's gotten comfortable doing proper criticism. She didn't want to hurt my feelings early on in the relationship, so it was tough to get the honest answers. She's very honest now and very sharp and useful.
Yeah,
so
useful.
And I'm also very self-critical in a healthy way. I know when it feels like I haven't faked it, cheated, cut corners. I think this thing's ready to go.
So what brought you, was horror the genre you always wanted to work in?
No. This goes back to my youth. And I would say I began with Darth Vader in 1980. I was six. I saw The Empire Strikes Back. No one knew that big twist was coming. So when I found out he was the good guy's father, unbelievable. It just explodes a six-year-old's head. I think I've been chasing that experience ever since. I remember reading The Lottery. My mother handed me the library book. I was maybe 10. I can still smell that library book.
Yeah.
And then Twin Peaks comes along. Worth mentioning, rest in peace,
David Lynch,
the man whose work affected me more than anybody else's in my entire life. Oh. So I was watching Twin Peaks in the 90s when it first premiered, and that also containing a lot of darkness and horror elements and just changed everything.
And just one of the strangest television programs that was so cool.
Yes.
From the Log Lady to the Pie to just everything.
On ABC.
On ABC. And you're just watching, I don't know, we're roughly the same age, but you watch it and you think, how did this get on TV?
Yes.
Yeah. And what the hell's going on?
Right.
It's fascinating.
It is. And so that hit right in my high school pivot where I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing in life. I was not athletic. I was not cool. And Dead Poets Society came out around that time. And I thought, oh, that's a great shtick. I'd be sensitive writer guy. And as I was faking it, as teenagers fake things with so much heart, it becomes real. And so a couple of years later, I'm really into books. I'm actually being fed by this better material. And I went into college, went to the College of St. Rose, and I wanted to be a fiction writer. Yeah. At which point I began to get a little pretentious, and I would only write literary novels. I was beginning to reject my genre roots. I was beginning to let go of those things. I think becoming a father at 30 is what changed everything for me again. You rediscover everything with your son or your daughter. Worms are fascinating again. Bugs. I'm watching his reaction to things that mattered to me as a child, And I'm feeling it again. And I thought, why am I putting away these things that mattered to me? And I came back to the horror genre, I suppose, and began writing exclusively horror and dark fiction.
I am not a parent. I am, like you, have been married for over 30 years. But I never felt like, I never felt like I was, that was something that I was qualified for.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either. I think if most parents are honest, they'll say we had no idea, like, and we were utterly unprepared.
Yeah. How did this happen?
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, I felt this way through most of my life about like getting a car or a goldfish. But yes.
The first night we slept in our own home, and I thought, my God, I need to defend this and fix things.
Right.
I don't know the noises in this place. Everything was, talk about horror. Everything was scary.
And you think to yourself, well, if I don't know how to do it, at least I hope I have the fortitude to figure out who I can call to have them do it.
Yes. All praise YouTube amateur experts who know how to fix that particular plumbing problem in my home.
Dennis Mahoney is our guest. His new book is Our Winter Monster. So tell us about this. An unhappy couple lost in a blizzard, and I think it's safe to say they're running from their issues.
They are. They were trying to run toward their issues. So they had a shared traumatic event one winter, and it put a tremendous strain on their relationship. Their names are Holly and Brian. And they find that after this event, they don't recognize each other the same way. They don't recognize themselves. And so around the anniversary of that terrible event, they decide to confront these issues and drive to a remote ski town and get right in there with winter and get right in there with each other and see if they can work this out and save the relationship. Of course, things go terribly awry early. And they find themselves lost and separated in a blizzard in an unfamiliar place with a strangely personal snow creature that seems to be stalking them.
Yeah. Now, first of all, once you go on a ski trip into winter, then it can have that dark feeling anyway, right?
Yes. I'm terrified of driving in the snow. Remind me to never publish a book in the winter again as I'm driving around the Northeast through February. These anxieties, it's how I deal with them. And the idea of the monster came to me, and I'm not sure why. I don't always know where my story ideas come from. I felt the need to write a book that was very much outdoors after the previous book, which was almost entirely set indoors.
Yeah.
Counter-programming in a way. What am I going to do for the next year? I think I'll pretend I'm writing outside. This was, again, also during lockdown. So outside was not only tantalizing, it was scary. So I begin writing this book, and I have no idea what it's about. I didn't know that it was going to be about interpersonal relationships or trauma. I didn't know what the monster was or why it was there. So I was as lost as they were as I began writing this book, and we all figured it out together.
That in and of itself seems scary, right? When you're involved in something and you don't know exactly where it's going.
Yes. The trust fall. Do you mean as a writer?
Yes.
Yes. There's always that trust fall. There's always that sense that I may go 100 pages in the wrong direction. And as I am a somewhat slow writer, that could be 2-3 months sometimes of work where I think, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest here, I need to redo this.
So the idea of, I'm interested in what goes into creating a good monster.
Of course, I went back to Jaws in my head.
Sure.
The not seeing of that creature, which was, of course, because the shark was constantly breaking, made it better. If you had seen the rubber mechanical shark too often in that movie, then it would have looked like a rubber mechanical shark. It would have been the old creature with the zipper up the back, and it breaks the illusion. What's interesting to me about monsters is that I think they stand for exactly the unknowable fear we have, and we are desperately trying to shape it somehow. Zozobra. Have you heard of Zozobra?
No.
I read an article in the New York Times about this. Apparently in Santa Fe, there is a mythical white mountain creature named Zozobra who absorbs all of the fears and anxieties of the community throughout the year. And then once a year, late summer, they burn it in effigy. They build a giant zozobra and burn their anxieties and fears. This thing is such a big deal, they have it emblazoned on their fire trucks. It's part of their culture. I'd never heard of this. I'm dying to go to Santa Fe and see this creature.
I have been to Santa Fe, but I never made that connection. So it's a figure that brings sort of the worst of us all into one tidy marionette package.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I think we all have a different idea of monster when someone says the word.
Yeah.
I think when we become adults, we begin to associate that with certain people.
Right. I always thought in my family it was Aunt Clara. But
you think sure. Hannibal Lecter, you think the latest serial yeah. killer, you think, oh, that politician I don't like is such a monster, or that friend that treated me poorly, what a monster. I think if you go in the deeper Jungian sense, you're getting into that old archetype of the shape in the shadows that we cannot quite see, but we know it's there.
I was just looking at a picture of Zozobra, and it's funny because the various incarnations look the cross between a monster or just an evil marionette or a Muppet,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
That's sort of a lot of interpretations there.
It might depend on the year in Santa Fe. If they had a pretty good year, it may be more Muppet-esque.
A little more... cushy. So does that figure into it? Like, once you have that idea, that then becomes what you're going for?
Yes. Every character in this book that encounters the creature has a completely different reaction to it. They see it a little differently, and it triggers something very deep and personal in them. One character, I believe, sees the day he was drowning. And he was looking up at the sky and thinking, that's the last time I'm going to see that starburst on the surface. The last time I will see the light. That strange amorphous shape is what the monster looks like to him. It's sort of a giant Rorschach blot made of snow. That's the way it's most often described. It's shifting and moving in the blizzard. Much like a lot of our memories and a lot of our worst events as we remember them, it's hard to get the details pinned down.
So what then is it like to make this thing that you have invented into, and not a person, but otherworldly, to be then a character that we relate to and are ultimately fearful of?
We definitely don't relate to the monster in this one in quite the way you're thinking. I don't want to give too much away, but it is not ultimately a Yeti or a Bigfoot or
right.
a Mighty Humble Bumble. It is very much... emerging from these characters. They have summoned it accidentally. And I think you're learning a bit more about them in the way that the monster is reflecting back at them.
So then outsiders then wouldn't necessarily be affected.
They would potentially see this thing on their own. And
yeah.
many do. And many have bad encounters with this. They are absolutely... in danger of meeting the creature. And then it's also, even if they get away, hitting them on a very personal and traumatizing level.
But just the way you've described this is fascinating to me because it seems like you have to write the rule book as to what this character is going to be, what it's not going to be, what kind of monster it's going to be, what kind of monster it's not going to be.
Yes. Within a work where there are unreal or supernatural elements, there do still need to be rules. Generally speaking, David Lynch.
Yes.
It may be an exception, but I think even he had his own internal logic. It needs to somehow be right and not violate its own universe. An example would be, take something like Superman. He can't suddenly maybe teleport. We know he can fly. We know he has super strength, but he can't do anything because that would just be boring and there wouldn't
right.
be any consequences. So... I've determined what this monster is, how and why it appears, and how characters might respond to it, and then I need to be honest. And again, the reason I'm even pursuing something like a supernatural element in my books is that I can't, and most of my books have had some element of this. Even Fellow Mortals had moments where a character had banged his head and was having
yeah.
nightmare delusions as he's walking around the woods. I can't seem to get at certain things that I need to express without... breaking my own strict logical approach to it. So it becomes a bit more dreamlike, which makes it no less true.
And for the characters and for what they're going through, ultimately this is impeding on whatever progress they're trying for.
It is certainly a manifestation of their obstacle.
Yeah.
They literally cannot reconnect with each other, and there is this thing that seems to be between them.
And how important is awareness on their part?
Awareness of?
Of the monster.
Very aware. I mean, they are being physically threatened early on. They're also aware of the fact that it does seem to be coming specifically for them, and anyone they're standing next to may pay the price. So there is that sense of one's own trauma radiating out to the person that's standing next to you.
Well, aren't they lucky?
Mm.
Yeah. I want to mention some dates here that I don't want to lose track of if when we have to go. Dennis has a great book signing tour coming up, and I just want to make mention of some of the dates. First of all, he'll be at the Bookhouse of Stuyvesant Plaza on Tuesday, Tuesday the 28th. And then there is going to be a New York State Writers Institute event that I mentioned before. That's at 4:30 on Thursday the 30th, and you'll be in conversation with Aaron Adams.
Yes.
Which is very cool.
Everyone read Jackal.
Yes, read Jackal.
Unbelievable book. Some just hit harder than others, and that one hit really hard for me.
You will also be at Barnes & Noble and Colony Center on the 7th at 6 p.m., and you are going to be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on February 9th. And I'm going to mention this just because this is one of my favorite bookstores when I lived in Pennsylvania, the Doylestown Bookshop.
Oh, you've been?
In Doylestown, Pennsylvania. That's such a cool store. That's a great, great store.
I have not been yet. I can't wait.
Yeah. If you go across the street, that's where Jessica Savage died.
Ah.
So if you're looking for a ghost,
I will.
That's there. You
I'm
go.
Sure they'll tell
that's
me a, that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's a good. They got you on the road.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Do you like talking about when you go out and you like? I mean, it seems just in our conversation, you seem to enjoy talking about the work.
I love it, and in a room full of people that are also excited about this genre, especially fellow authors, fellow readers, it's just a delight. You don't always meet them in your local environment. It's hard to sometimes find one's tribe, especially when one is 50. I'm finding my people. If I would like to sell books at these events, but I would go to these events if I were selling none.
But you know, horror as a genre has, I mean, obviously Stephen King blew it out of the water, and then it sort of went into hibernation for a little while, but it seems to be coming out of
yes.
It's umbrage.
It hugely woken up. I think beginning with film in the last 5 years, they're about the only movies that are non-franchise blockbusters guaranteed every year. They also seem to be pushing the envelope of what's possible in storytelling. But then the novels have caught up of late, and the diversity explosion is what really seemed to do it. I don't think it's any accident that we have all these incredible new stories, and they happen to be coming from Black authors, women authors, LGBTQ. It's different people telling their version of the monster story.
Yeah.
How did it affect you to grow up with a werewolf?
And that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jaws earlier. Did you see the movie or did you read the novel?
I did not read the novel.
Okay. We were talking about this morning, so it's weird that you brought it up, because I read the novel about a month ago. It's not very good.
Oh, really?
It's really funny that it's become, because the movie is one of the greatest movies ever, yeah. I think, and so scary. But it's much more about the relationship between the chief and his wife, and they're both fooling around, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. But to be able to look at something like that and say, oh, well, this is what is going to scare people. That's really cool. And to be able to then obviously present that on screen.
If we have time, may I ask what scares you?
Oh, what scares me? I mean, I can give a smart aleck answer.
And
just to say, you know, internal ineptitude, you know,
a worthy fear.
You just feel like you're going to let people down.
Yes.
And you're not going to do what you're capable perhaps of of doing. That scares me.
The core of many a good horror story you've just named.
Very, very much so. But as you know, as far as The Dark or Heights or things like that, I'm not particularly upset by. Mm-hmm. But then I could, again, another smart alecky answer. But there's times where I'm just scared by myself.
I like that answer best. Your smart alecky answer is not. I think that is what seems to be driving the current. And really, the history of great horror, I say, would be much more what you're saying, where it's that terror of oneself and what you would do in a dangerous situation or what you might be capable of doing.
That's right.
The monster we are.
And what could you – because we all – I think – I don't know, but I think we all have that, well, this is what I'm going to do, but this is what I'd like to do.
I have a feeling I might fail in certain scenarios and become a victim. I'm not sure in the moment I need to be the shining knight. I'm not convinced I wouldn't be cowering in the corner.
Well, that's right. I just don't. I remember vividly. This is sort of an answer to your question, but I remember vividly. I was like a bad person to be in the room if something happened, and I remember I was very young, and my mother's hand got stuck in a window, and she's just screaming, and I looked at her and I realized I am not the person who should be here right now because I do not know what to do.
Right.
And I fled. Now I did go find help, mm-hmm. but it bothered me that I couldn't, you know. And I've gotten better at that. I now help people when when they get their hands stuck in windows and the like.
But you don't know until you faced it.
Yeah,
I don't know how I would respond if I were in a war scenario. I don't know how I would respond if I came across a car accident on the drive home. I like to think I would faint. But I don't know that. I know I would want to help. I don't know that I would have the ability. You have to meet these occasions. And sometimes it's something like, let's just play act and do a snow monster or a ghost or a werewolf is coming after you. And more people can potentially put their own fears onto that and then relate to those characters.
And it all gets down to the unknown, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just not knowing what's on the other side of whatever.
We're all scared of the future of the world right now, and it's because we don't know what in the world it will be.
Well, wait to see what our winter monster is. Mm. Our winter monster is the new book. It is by Dennis Mahoney. It is published by the fine folks at Soho, and it's beautifully put together, and I can't wait to read this. You just handed me a copy, so I can't wait to read it, and I look forward to it. It'll be a wonderful way to spend a weekend.
Thank you very much, Joe.
I wish you all the luck in the world. You have lots of great events going up. If you go to equinoxsociety.com, you can find out your full schedule there of where you're going to be. Dennis, I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.